Our gracious Heavenly Father, we again pause in thy presence to thank you for the love, the life that you have given to us and shown to us through Jesus Christ. We thank you now for this opportunity we have to share your words. We thank you for the freedom that we so often take for granted. We pray right now, Father, for each individual in this room, that your spirit would touch each one. We ask that as your word is shared, as truths are shared, that these truths would penetrate into our hearts, and if there's something amiss in our lives, that your spirit would help us to correct those situations so that we can find a better, deeper, and closer walk with you. We also pray that, Father, if there's any evil in this room, we ask you to cast it out. For, Father, we want you to be exalted above all things. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to first thank you all for your prayers. I know there's people who have been praying for me this week, and I thank you for that. Things that have struck me the last little while here that I hope I don't get too rambly, but I'm realizing I'm getting old. And we just went through a new year, and I have this question to ask the children or anyone, and you can all answer this. And that is, how many heard the saying, time goes so fast? Time goes so fast. You heard that? Okay. I have the question, how many think it's going slow? Come on, children. Thanks, John. When I was up to probably 18, I thought these old people who said time goes so fast, you know, they had a problem. Because I didn't think it was, especially when I turned 16, I was, you know, time was going slow until I got 16. And when you turn 16, you think, you know, you have a lot to happen. You can learn to drive. And I think we have some birthday people in this room here. And I think today our oldest grandson, today's his birthday. He's 16. And it kind of hits you as a grandfather, like, wow, I remember when I was that age. And thinking of how fast time has gone, I would like to challenge you to the fact that with time going so fast, let's use our time in a way that's valuable. Let's realize it's soon fleeting. I got a phone call yesterday. No, I got a text. It was a text yesterday that my neighbor, a customer, a friend, died at 2 o'clock. He was fighting cancer, and he was in the hospital, and I guess they pulled the plug and whatever. But anyway, he's my age, a little older, but he loves God. I took a picture of his back end of his, he has a VW TDI station wagon, and he has a little sign in the back and says, if all else fails, read the manual, and have the Bible. And I would like to challenge every one of us, don't wait till it fails. Read the Bible now, because it would save you a lot of headache and a lot of hassle. Because too many of us think we can do it on our own, and then it doesn't work. So if we read the Bible now, we can avoid a lot of problems. Anyway, time's moving so fast in my lifetime. This just boggles my mind from the standpoint, we grew up without cell phones. We grew up without computers. We grew up without internet. We grew up without Google Maps. I mean, there's so many things that, I mean, when my wife and I got married, we were going to the post office a lot for stamps or delivering mail or whatever. I mean, that was our form of communication in a lot of ways. I mean, we weren't quite back to the smoke signal thing. We weren't that old. But we did have mail. And the thing that strikes me is a lot of things have happened in that time. I still remember we moved to the farm we're on now, and we were contemplating, we had two ways, and all of a sudden cell phones came out, and two ways became obsolete for us. And so we went cell phone. I'm going to tell you, thank you, Henry. I need that much. Thank you. I was reminiscing here, and I'm going to tell you, when I was little, when I was young, 11 or 12, I had a newspaper route. And some of you may have heard this story before, but it just sinks home some facts. And I worked hard. I got up 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning to deliver the morning newspaper to my people. And I did that for a year or so, 2 years, whatever. Anyway, I made some money. And I remember, as a 12-year-old, going into Nichols. It's a little store that isn't anymore. It was down there along 72. And I walked in there by myself, by the way. And I went up to the counter, and I bought my first 12-gauge Mossberg shotgun. And I walked out. I bought it and walked out. And I was sharing this with Stanley Brubaker here a while back. And he said, yeah, times have changed. He said, when I was young, he said, my father was a farmer, and I had to go to the hardware store. And I went in there, and I came out with a case of dynamite. And he was my age, 12, at that, you know, 11, 12 years old. And he was taking it to his dad, who was blowing up rocks that were in the field that they had to get moved so they could farm better. So this is my life. I grew up like that. And now, I mean, you got to be registered. You got to do this. There's so much paperwork. It's almost mind-boggling in everything you do. If you don't have the right paperwork, you're not going anywhere. And I'm like, what has happened? And I was thinking about it, and the thing that struck me is we have, when I went to public school, we had Bible reading and prayer in school. And they took that out. They took God out of the picture. And as I thought about it yesterday, I was made to think we have turned from God to a lack of faith, fear, and following of God, and that's changed this country. And to me, the answer is God. I'd like to, you know, I say this a lot, and that is God is everything. Because when you take God out of the picture, you have nothing. And if the sooner we get back to God and to his manual, the better off we're all going to be. And I just pray somehow that we can get a hold of that and live it in a way that our community, our neighbors, can all see that and have a desire to know the God of the universe. So anyway, the fact is that truths don't change. God is real. And last Sunday, what did we know? What did we find out about God? What was shared last Sunday? It was God what? I like to test your brain. Gerald preached, right? Right, Gerald? Do you think they should remember one word at least? No, we are very forgetful people, I'll tell you that right now. But he said, God sees everything. He knows everything. I mean, God's everything, right? Bottom line. So the sooner we wake up to that reality, the better off we're going to be. There's a verse in Isaiah. I would just like you to read a little bit. Isaiah 1, and it's verse 19 and 20. I'm going to read them. It says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured by the sword, and the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And that's truth. But the fact is, if you want to be willing and obedient, in other words, you need to get involved. You have a choice. You have a decision today. Am I going to put God first in my life? Or am I just going to, you know, live my life the way I want to live? Because you have to be willing and then obedient. The idea is you have to be actually doing something that God tells you to do. You need to do it. It's an actual involvement or engagement. I think in Matthew 6, this is kind of like my bunny trail out. I was trying to help you understand. Matthew 6, there's some verses here, beginning at verse 22. It says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And if there be therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, and yet for your body, what it shall put on. It is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubic unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God be so clothed the grass of the field, which it today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day the evil thereof. This past week we had New Year's, and we had a blessing of having some of our children. And one of our children made the comment, this is going to be their motto verse for the year. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. They want to live that. They want to pursue that. But if you notice what we read at the beginning, you cannot serve two masters. So if you're going to seek God, you have to seek God with your whole heart, with everything you got, so that you can be able to receive this blessing, this promise that God has given to those that will truly seek him. It's a actual hunt. It's a, you know, God first thing. And we have said before that God is love, God is life, and God is light. And the thing that you have to realize, you can choose that, or you can choose the opposite, and that would be darkness, death, and I have another word here that I don't use very often. I can't even find it. I think I know where I put it. Disfavor. So you can have in other words, you can choose love, life, or light, or disfavor, death, and darkness, and you can decide for yourself. It doesn't take too much of a mathematician to figure which side of the kingdom you're in. And we want to seek God. And if we seek God first, we will be blessed greatly. I was thinking in regards to the New Year's resolution. The idea is, how many did a New Year's resolution? Anybody? Okay. I was it was brought to my attention that there was a there's different people who have done different things, but I think this person had it right. He was a pastor in the 1700s, and what he did is, as a young person, he went and wrote down 17 principles that he wanted to live by. He wrote them down. And then what he said he put them at a place that he would read them every day. And I thought to myself, wow. And my wife will concur with this, that I need to write things down and read them every day. I need to improve on that. Because when you do that, things happen. I mean, my wife and I have been in different things in our past that it was a learning curve on what to stay out of. Like, I think we were in Market America one time, and you know, and they emphasize this actually, you write things down, you put them on your mirror, you know, and then you read them every day, and you get results. You get results. And I thought, there's some truth to that, but let's bring it to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's put God first in this. Let's do that for God, and actually it's for our good. I was made to think in regards to the New Year's resolutions. There's people who say that they're going to save more money, they're going to eat healthier, they're going to lose weight, they're going to exercise more, they're going to spend more time with their family, and usually they last anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 months, maybe. They might do that. There's a man back in the 1700s who sold tobacco. And he usually made out real well. His store was extremely busy up to Christmas. And after Christmas, he said, all his income just dried up because everybody made these New Year's resolutions that they're going to quit smoking, or they're going to, you know, they're not going to do their pipe, they're not going to do their whatever. And this man said, the interesting thing is, you know, a week goes by and it picks up a little bit, but he said by the end of the month, he's back into full swing. And I thought, yeah, everybody wants to break this habit, but you can't do it on yourself. You need help. And that was another thing that this person pointed out. When you write down your goals, write them down and read them every day, and then thirdly, have an accountable partner. In other words, have someone that you know cares for you, and then touch base with them and say, hey, I need help here. I want you to touch base and make sure that I am following my goals. And that people who do that, follow those three stages, go forward real fast. I would like to recommend some goals for us. And this is what I'd like you to think about, and that is this. First of all, I want you to read your Bible every day. Read your Bible and have a deeper understanding of what God's will for you is. When you're reading it, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. For the purpose of having a better relationship and understanding of God. That should be our first priority. Secondly, come to church on time. Be here 5 or 10 minutes before church is supposed to start. I think that's something we can all do. And I talked to a brother yesterday, and I mentioned that to him, and he said, yeah, he said, you know, you realize by not doing that, we're missing out on a certain amount of pre-fellowship, you know, before the service. And I'll put it like this, in our past, and we're still farmers, but when we had 9 children, it was a real challenge for us to be there on time. But I feel that we have done well overall. My parents were extremely punctual people, and I have to give them credit. They were always there early. They were always like 15 minutes early. They were there. And it was actually a blessing because when you got to church, you could connect with people before, you could visit a little bit before, and then you could sit down, you can meditate. I'd encourage you to put that on, write it down, put on your mirror, and come to church on time. Thirdly, have a deeper prayer life. I really appreciate the brothers who have told me that they're praying for me every day. And they're praying for the team. They're praying for the servant team. To me, I don't think you realize how much we value that. We really, really appreciate that. Because I do believe in the power of prayer. And we need your prayers. So please put that on your list. But we need to be praying for each other. And fourthly, and this is where I failed, and that is keep a spiritual journal. In other words, when people are having a victorious time, write it down, saying, hey, you know, Brother so-and-so, he's on top. Let's keep praying for him that he is having this victorious life. And fifth, practice forgiveness. And the sixth thing I have written down here is be a real Christian. I have I have an egg machine, and I have a lot of egg customers. And it's interesting, we get into a conversation with them, and I just talked to one yesterday, and she was buying some eggs for an Amish lady. And she said she has, you know, she has Muslim friends, Jewish friends, you know, all different types of friends. And she said, and I told her, I said, well, it's like this. I don't care where you're from. I said, there's always good and, oh, let me back up a little bit. She said, I think you're Mennonite, right? And I said, well, we're Christians. I said, we have been raised Mennonite, but I said, we appreciate the Anabaptist ways. But I said, we are children of God, and our cry is that we want to be real Christians. And because I said, I don't care who you're connected with, there's good and bad in every aspect. I said, I have Amish friends who are not good, and I have Amish friends who are good. I mean, I know they're good and bad. And I said, I have Mennonite people that I know, and I have ones that are that I don't trust, and I have ones that I do. I mean, it's just the way it is. So that's why I told her, we want to be real Christians. And Anna's not here, but when Abner passed and I was moderating, this is my motto that I've gotten from Abner, and that is, a real Christian is one who is repentant of their sin. A real Christian is empty of themselves, and a real Christian is always God first. And a real Christian loves everyone. And if we are real Christians, the world is going to see that. And it's going to, not for our glory, but for God's glory. That's why we're here. So may God help us. As we go through this year, may God help us to be grateful, giving, and gracious. Because everything we have is God's. Nothing we have is ours. And if we can keep that in perspective, it's going to help us. Now, ready for the message? That was my springboard. I would like to read Psalms 99. There's a portion here. Psalms 99, I'd like to begin at the last verse, 9, and then I'm going to read Psalms 100. It says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into the courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. God knows everything, he is everywhere, and he's everlasting. In Proverbs 13, there is a verse that kind of speaks out with what I'm wanting to springboard off of. Proverbs 13, verse 22, it reads like this. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. What I'm wanting to zero in on, and that is, what is your legacy? What is your legacy? A good man and a good woman is going to leave an inheritance. Now, we think of that, a lot of times we think of, you know, dividing the inheritance, you know, the house, the property, the money, the stocks, whatever, you know, whatever, that kind of thing. But in God's perspective, the inheritance, a good man and a woman will leave the inheritance of prayer. They're going to leave the inheritance of a godly life. They're going to leave an inheritance of a good name. They're going to leave an inheritance of an example to follow. They're going to leave an inheritance of cherished memories. And that's the legacy that God wants us to leave behind. I'm not saying that money doesn't have any value. It does. It's nice. But if you start loving that, it will destroy you. But if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things are going to be added unto you. Because you're going to have a proper frame, a proper mind, understanding of what really matters in life. And so, I'd say Jesus was very concerned about his legacy. And I would like to turn to my favorite chapter, and that is John 17. And that is the high priestly prayer. John 17, I'm going to begin reading at verse 17. It says, Jesus praying for his disciples. He says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us, and the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me, also whom thou hast given me. But be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Find that as being sanctified by truth. And that's by knowing truth, seeking the kingdom of God first. And his desire for us was that we become one in God, become one as in relationship and becoming perfect in him. So, and the purpose of this is so that the world would see God's glory, so that they will believe, find life, and find salvation. And the question I should like to ask is, am I living the legacy of Jesus Christ? Am I living this? Yesterday, you know I use acronyms a lot, but I'm not going to do that as much as I would like you to understand. I said God is everything, and the thought is, if God is not in your heart, you're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to make it. And my heart, my cry is that God becomes everything to you, like it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, so that you can have all these blessings. And that doesn't mean, as I was mentioned the other Sunday, that Mary was highly favored, and she was an outcast, and she had her baby on a dirt floor, and her son was crucified, and she was highly favored. I shared that this past week with a guy who was in a garage, and he was really quiet, more than normal. And I said to him, I said, hey, Phil, I said, what's wrong? Well, it's a little tense right now. He said, I'm highly favored. and then I told him about Mary. And I said, you know what? I said, it's good to be highly favored. But I said, that doesn't mean it's going to be all peaches and cream. And he thanked me. I felt like I helped him that day to go through his day. Anyway, coming to my cry of having God in our heart, having the legacy of God in us. I wrote this to myself, and this is personal. And there's my personal legacy, my personal desire, is that when we have a legacy, my cry is that I want to be living a faithful, humble life. That is my cry for those that follow after me, that they see that I am living a faithful and humble life for God's glory. I want people to know that when they remember me, they see a person who was ethical or honest and who was empty of self. Not selfish, but empty of self. I'm hoping when time comes, people look at my legacy, that they realize that I was a giving and a grateful person. There's a reason why I tell everybody thank God for the day it's in, because it doesn't just help them, it helps me to remember who I'm under, and that's God. I'll give you a personal story, and that is, I used to work for Frank Kreiter's. Frank was my boss, and his son Dale and I were good friends. We double dated, and anyway. But Frank and I were out unloading some fertilizer one time, and we were there talking. And Frank said to me, "You know, I forget what I said, but I said thank you or something like that." And he made this statement. He said, "John, why are you so thankful?" And he said, "I have not." He said, "I have not met somebody that is so grateful in so many aspects." And it struck me. But I will say this as the best way I can. Our family was not first class family. I loved my parents, but we were not, back then it was probably Martin, Weaver, Sensnick, or whatever. You know, they had this class. we were low end. We were bottom. And we're more like the putts, you know, we're just bottom. And to me, it helped me appreciate everything that people did for me. I mean, because I don't deserve it. I don't deserve this. And that mentality helps us be grateful. And that's what God wants from each of us. He wants us to be humble and grateful people. There's a reason why he has given us the command to be thankful. Because it helps us to realize we are under the greatest giver in the world, and that's God, right here. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And if we can keep that mentality in our life, we can go forward, because we are then seeking the kingdom of God in the right attitude, the right spirit, so that the world can see him in us. But we need to be humble. We need to be grateful to be able to find that. And I am thankful for that, for the privilege I had to work with Franks. Anyway, A, and that is, I'm hoping the legacy that I leave behind is people realize that I was always available. And I had an assuring life of salvation. I had a life of answered prayer. I had a life of victory. I had a life of forgiveness. And I have had a life of being guided by God. That is the legacy I'd like to leave behind. C, I'm hoping that the legacy I leave behind is care for others. And to help people realize I cherish my wife, because God has been very good. And last of all, that a legacy to be reminded that I was always yielded to the Spirit, to the Holy Spirit. And one word that we don't use very often, but Yahweh. Now, Yahweh means Jesus. And my prayer is that people will realize that I was reflecting Yahweh, having a carbon copy of Jesus Christ in my life, that I would reflect him so that the world can see God in us. So the question I ask you, what legacy do you have? What legacy do you want people to remember you of? Because life is short. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again to thank you. We thank you for life. We thank you for the book of instruction you have given to us. We pray that you might help us, Father, to read your word every day. Help us, Father, to apply it to our lives so that the world can see you in us and that more souls can be brought into the kingdom. And we just thank you again for the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that your Spirit would work with this message and touch those that need it, and help us all, Father, to put you first so that we can seek you with our whole heart, so that the world can see you in us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.